The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
News coming from all angles, and we're here for all of it on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. I am Matt Jones. Joe Fortenbaugh is with me. It is Friday afternoon. You can join the conversation. We've had some good calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. And you also can tune into an AL Battle Sunday. The A's host the Yankees, presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Sometimes I see headlines, Joe, that when I see them, I think, you know what? I don't think the world can get sillier. And then this happens and you realize that it does. So this is a headline coming from Florida. Let me ask you a question. Normally, if I were to say to you, what's the job title of Nick Saban? What would you say his official job title is?
Head football coach, University of Alabama.
There you go. That's a normal thing. Well, if he was the coach at Florida Atlantic, like Willie Taggart, he would have a different job title. Florida Atlantic announces today that Willie Taggart's position will now be known as the Haggerty Family Head Football Coach. The Haggerty family gave $2.5 million to Florida Atlantic University and has changed the name of the head football coach to the Haggerty Family Head Football Coach.
Huh.
Do you like that, Joe? So, like, when you're watching a game, the announcer will have to say, Willie Taggart, Haggerty Family Head Football Coach at Florida Atlantic.
So what are we now opening the floodgates for? Like the Matt Jones family starting quarterback of the University of Kentucky? Like, are we just going to
brand? No, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be like the McDonald's head football coach of Auburn. Like, that's what's coming. I would have never even considered the idea that you could sponsor the name of a job title, but at Florida Atlantic, the Haggerty family head football coach now exists.
Yeah. Anytime money's involved, don't ever assume it can't be done, right? Because that's what we're learning right here. The school wants the money. The people want some more prestige. There's a great episode of Billions where Bobby Axelrod goes out of his way to spite a guy who snubbed him early in his life when he was a golf caddy. So he gets his name off of a building and Axelrod gets his name put on the building just to spite the family. When money's involved, there's no stopping anything.
Well, good luck to the Haggerty family head football coach, Willie Taggart. It's also his 45th birthday. What a nice present he was given for that. Now, lots of quarterback battles, quarterback controversies, just quarterback discussions going on. But the one that's probably nearest and dearest to my heart, Joe, is in Chicago. I'm a lifelong Bears fan. And Justin Fields is getting some first-team reps now. That hasn't been happening a lot. Now he is. They're increasing, which is leading some speculation that maybe he could end up. Maybe they decide to put him in. You've made a pretty compelling case for Andy Dalton as the first week starter. I hate it because I especially hate when you say something I feel like I have to agree with, but I think it's a good one as to why Dalton should play.
It's not so much pro-Dalton as it is pro-Justin Fields' development, right? Like, let's develop Justin Fields. There's no sense to rush Justin Fields out there. There are teams that have to operate with a sense of urgency. Baltimore's a team that needs to operate with a sense of urgency. They need to start winning playoff games and working their way towards true, legitimate Super Bowl contention. Green Bay has to play with a sense of urgency because this could very well be the final year of Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback. The Bears don't have that level, that same sense of urgency. So ultimately, do what's best for the player. We know how important the starting quarterback position is in the NFL. So develop the kid at his pace. He has all the tools you need to succeed in the NFL, and Justin Fields has looked pretty good so far in the preseason. But remember something. He hasn't been that great. He was 9 of 19 against Buffalo's B&C squad. He struggled against the starters from Miami in week one before beating up a little bit on Miami's backups. He's going to take some time, and with week one in L.A. against the Rams on Sunday Night Football featuring Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, that is where you put Andy Dalton, the one-year $10 million man, into play. If you want to start Fields the next week against Cincinnati when you're at home, that's a softer landing spot. But think long-term with Justin Fields. Don't think short-term, think long-term.
I don't know if you folks at home can hear the sirens going by. That is not those are not sirens of people. Well, they're not sirens of people disagreeing with Joe. I just wanted to be clear. I'm outside, and those are actual sirens. I hope everybody is okay with whatever is going on. But as far as Justin Fields,
you know what that is, real quick, Matt. Matt, that is the Police, an '80s band. The Police, I say.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's true. I do like the Police, but still the 80s are the worst decade. Anybody that disagrees just doesn't understand music. But the thing about Justin Fields and the Bears this year in general is that, you know, the Bears have the hardest schedule in football. The way it worked out, by coming in second place last year, they end up getting like Tampa Bay, for instance, which was a second place divisional team but actually won the Super Bowl. They draw as their divisional teams, they draw the West in both, so in both the AFC and the NFC, so that's a very difficult schedule. So they've ended up with the hardest schedule, and that's tough for a guy like Justin Fields as a rookie to have to go through that gauntlet. So maybe you do give a few weeks to Dalton, but the problem is with their schedule is that their winnable games are right there at the beginning outside of the Rams. So if you don't play him then, you're just asking him to get beat up week after week after week, and that would be what I would be concerned about.
Another problem for the Bears is the way they're structurally organized at the current moment. Ultimately, what you want is an ownership group in the NFL or any professional sport, but specifically the NFL for this analogy. You want the ownership group to go out and find the general manager. You want the general manager to go out and hire the head coach. You want the general manager and the head coach to work together to draft the quarterback. Everybody's invested in everybody else. If the quarterback succeeds, the coach and the GM look good, right? If the general manager is doing his job correctly, that means the head coach and the player are in a position to win. The problem in Chicago is that you reach the final year of this contract with Matt Nagy, the head coach, and Ryan Pace, the general manager, and the Bears were too cheap to fire him. They didn't want to fire him. They wanted him to play out the final year of the deal. So these guys, in an effort to save their jobs, went out, traded up, and drafted Justin Fields, hoping that a young rookie quarterback could come in, play well, and buy them some more time. But here's what happens. If it doesn't work well this year, then you could still end up firing the GM and the head coach, and now the new management group is going to come in, and they're going to be stuck with a quarterback they didn't draft. And ownership is going to want to see Fields succeed, but the new coach or GM might not want Justin Fields to be the guy, and now everybody's not on the same page. That's how you have problems from an organizational standpoint. If you were going to bring in a new quarterback, you should have given an extension to Pace and Nagy. And I know the people of Chicago, the great fans of Chicago, don't want to hear that, but you have got to align everybody.
Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear an extension for Nagy. I certainly do not. He has to do much better this year. You've already ruined one rookie quarterback with Mitch Trubisky. You can't do that with another. Tune into an AL battle Sunday as the A's host the Yankees, presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 Eastern on ESPN. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Let's go to Mike in Los Angeles, who's on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mike, what do you got? Well, Mike's already gone. Every time I go to these people, it's like they get scared. They hang on the phone for a long time. Don't be like that. 888-SAY-ESPN. Show that you are able to speak on a national stage. I know you can do it. Robert in Kentucky can certainly do it because he's from the right state. Go ahead, Robert.
Thank you very much, Matt. I have to disagree with you on music. I believe the 90s was the worst decade ever for music because it helped kill rock and roll. Because of the depressing drop tune music that was about suicide, or so depressing that it made you want to commit suicide, it drove the kids to rap and has nearly killed rock and roll.
So you're blaming Nirvana and Pearl Jam for sending kids to rap? That's the worst take I've ever heard, Robert.
It's so depressing. If to get their sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they had to go to rap because they no longer got it with rock and roll. It was all
so
about.
So what was your? Were you like listening to Slaughter and Winger in the '80s? Is that what your band? That's what your music choice is.
I only listen to legitimate metal. That's why the '80s was the greatest. They had the four greatest metal albums of all time: Number of the Beast, Screaming for Vengeance, Dire of a Madman, and Holy Diver all come out one two-year stretch between 1981 and 83.
I don't know what any of that stuff is, but I
gotta tell
appreciate
you, though,
Matt
makes a compelling case. That was an organized phone call. He laid out his data points. He was ready to go.
First, but when you're sitting here talking about metal, I mean, I don't know anything about metal, so that's not going to help. Are you a metalhead?
No, I don't know much about it either, but the argument there sounded quite organized. He could have been saying anything, though. He could have been speaking a foreign language.
He did.
I wouldn't have been able to call him out.
He spoke in such a way that we would have to agree with him anyway. Now, in San Francisco, of course, there's still scuttlebutt that Trey Lance might find a way into the starting lineup. Jimmy Garoppolo, though, sounded very confident in a press conference just yesterday.
Kyle said he had a pretty good idea to do the starting quarterback in week one. Do you have a pretty good idea?
Oh, yeah, I have a pretty good idea. It's whatever he decides, yeah. I have a pretty good idea. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now and everything, and just the offense as a whole. But, yeah, Kyle's the head man. He'll make the call.
Remind me to never invest my money backing Jimmy Garoppolo in poker because he doesn't have a very good poker face there. It seems pretty clear he knows he's starting.
It would be the right move as well. There's nothing that excites a football fan base more than a rookie first-round quarterback. And Trey Lance brings this very unique dynamic to the Bay Area in that he didn't play any football last year outside of that one, you know, semi-exhibition game. He went to a very small school. You know, it's not like we're seeing him on TV every week like Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, teams like that. So people are getting to know him. They're seeing the freakish athletic ability, and they're thinking to themselves, my God, with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, with George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel on that offense, the sky's the limit. Compounding the issue for Garoppolo is that he can't stay healthy. He got hurt last year. He got hurt three seasons ago. The guy can't keep himself on the field. So the fans are ready for a change in San Francisco, but that doesn't mean the change should happen now. The Niners opened the season as a 7-point favorite at Detroit. They follow that up with a trip to Philadelphia. Those are both winnable games. Go with Garoppolo. You're in the toughest division in the NFL with the NFC West, four legitimate playoff contenders. And if you're thinking about challenging for the Super Bowl, if you're thinking about challenging a deep run into late January, early February, every game is going to matter. This team knows that because the year they went to the Super Bowl, it came down to week 17 against Seattle to get that number one seed. So you can't slip up early. You start a rookie who hasn't played meaningful football in 2 years at Detroit, at Philly, you could risk a mistake that costs you that game. You start Garoppolo, you win those two games, you come home to host Green Bay, then you host Seattle, then you're at Arizona, then you have your bye week. Let Garoppolo lose the job. The guy was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He's more than capable of winning games in the National Football League.
But it does sound like, I feel like you're a little, like, you don't think they should start Justin Fields because they play a team that's good. And then you don't think you should start Jimmy Garoppolo because they play two teams that are bad. I mean, on some level, you know, I know that those two teams are in different situations. But for me, it's actually a more basic question. If you're the 49ers, you think you can do something this year. I don't think the Bears think they can do something. I think the 49ers do think they can achieve something. And if you do, you start Jimmy Garoppolo if he's better. If you're a team that thinks you can make any kind of run, you start the quarterback that's better. If you don't, then you start the quarterback that's younger. So unless Trey Lance is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, to me it's an easy question. And then if you get to a point that the season is going in such a way that you can't make the playoffs or you can't do something, then to me that's when you switch it. I feel like the San Francisco situation is much more basic than it is often portrayed to be, at least to me.
San Francisco is fortunate in that they have options, legitimate options. The last few years with the Garoppolo injury, they haven't had options. They have learned firsthand, harder than anybody else in the NFL, what it's like to not have competent backup quarterback play, because when Garoppolo goes down, the season flushes down the toilet. They can't win games that are very, very winnable. Now they've got Garoppolo and Lance. So even if you're going to go with Lance, Garoppolo is more than capable as a backup. But right now, the guy is a good quarterback. People are just writing him off because they want the next new thing, the next shiny object. Andy Dalton, we know his ceiling. We know it's a limited amount of time. And if Justin Fields had set the world on fire this preseason against the opposing team starters, I'd be saying start him. But he didn't. He didn't look good against Miami starters, and he didn't look very good 9-for-19 against Buffalo's B and C squad. I don't see why the Bears have to rush him out there, because ultimately I don't see the Bears as a legitimate Super Bowl contender this year.
Yeah, I don't either. So to me, it makes perfect sense to go with whatever will be best for him. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear hotline. Jameis Winston had this to say yesterday when he was named. Well, actually, well, I'll tell you what. I'll get back to that since I was about to read it, and Raj just moved it, so I can't read it. So Jimmy is in Texas, 888-SAY-ESPN. I literally, I'm in the middle of reading a quote, and Raj is like, you don't need to read that. Who cares? Forget it. Who cares what Jameis Winston said? Jimmy is in Texas. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was better before Raj moved my quote, Jimmy. That's what makes it hard to work in today's society. But go ahead, Jimmy.
I have a question for you, actually. What do you think the best veteran and rookie quarterback starting battle is coming into the NFL season?
That's a great question. First of all, I want to know what you think. Which one do you think is the best?
I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, because Trey Lance has a lot of potential, but Jimmy G, he's just a better overall player, and he has all the veteran leadership that he needs to carry the team to a successful season.
Now, how old are you? Do you mind me asking?
Yes, sir. I am 14.
Do you want to, like, be on the radio or TV when you get older? Because I think you could do it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're already better than about 75% of the people on the radio now. So I just want to tell you, I hope you will continue to work at it, because I agree with you, and I thought you made a good point, okay?
Thank you.
There you go. Appreciate the call. See, I like that. There's nothing.
It's an organized 14-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing that'll cheer you up like a kid. Like, Raj is over here just making it to where we sound like chaos. I read a quote, he flips it, he turns the page, there's sirens going off.
What do you think America wants to hear? They want to hear from a kid, or they want to hear you read a Jameis Winston?
Or from Jameis Winston. I think most people would rather hear from a kid than hear from Jameis Winston. I'm going to read this quote, though, whether he likes it or not. Here's what he had to say. I would love to carry that torch from Drew Brees. I would love to be able to provide the excitement and joy and resilience that he provided for this city. Maybe I'm like being just taken, Joe, but it feels to me like Jameis Winston has at least projected having grown up quite a bit, and that Drew Brees, how much credit you want to give Drew Brees is up to you. But he doesn't seem like the same guy I saw in the last year in Tampa. Do you agree with that?
I would completely agree with that. This was a guy who at Florida State had notable problems off the field, right? Notable maturity problems, issues that you would think to yourself, you know what? Maybe this guy's not going to be able to conduct himself like a professional. He gets to the professional ranks. He plays pretty well, but it's got to be a wake-up call. When you're a number one overall pick, you lead the NFL in passing, and your team tells you, we're good. We're going to go in a different direction. We're good. Yeah. Like, ultimately, you got to be sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Trubisky's getting time in Chicago. All these other quarterbacks who struggle get to continue playing. And Tampa just said, we're good. We drafted you number one. You're not getting a second contract. So he leaves, and then he sits for a year, and he gets to see how a pro like Brees goes about his business. And mind you, not Brees at the height of his powers, where he had every reason to be arrogant. Brees at the end of his career, where everyone was calling him washed and saying he couldn't play anymore, still navigating it like a pro day in and day out. If you can't learn from that, you're not going to be able to learn from anything when you're trying to play in this league.
Well, I'm impressed by what I've seen from him. I'm pulling for him. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm also pulling for that kid whose name I've already forgotten, who I'm going to follow his career. Jimmy. Jimmy's going to be a huge star. Let's go to the phones again. It is Josh in North Carolina. Josh, where in North Carolina are you?
I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh, well, Chapel Hill. What a great place. Chapel Hill, one of the best college towns in the United States. Josh, what do you got?
Yeah, go Tar Heels. So a couple things. First of all, I agree with your statement earlier about 80s music being the worst decade. That being
Thank
said,
you.
I'm born in 93, so take that with a grain of salt.
No, now, don't. You do not hurt your own opinion. You need to be confident. Don't say take it with a grain of salt. If you've learned anything from turning the TV and radio on, speak with confidence. But go ahead.
Fair enough. But, you know, I've never been there to experience it. Maybe there was something missing in person I wasn't there for. So no disrespect if 80s is your favorite. That's just my opinion. Now, my serious take here is a question for y'all. You got two teams in L.A., Chargers with a new head coach, really up-and-coming team, though, with their quarterback. Rams, who, you know, have kind of underperformed compared to expectations the past couple of years, but they're kind of going all in right now. If you had to take one team or bet on one team to win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years, who are you taking, Rams or Chargers?
I like that question, but I want you to hold on a second, because I want to answer that, but I want to hold on because I think it's a good one. I think Joe and I have a strong opinion on it. But the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out how we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. And coming up on No Doubt, are the Yankees the most dangerous team in baseball? I know New Yorkers.
No doubt.
Whoa. According to – wow, I wasn't used to just hearing a little no diggity come on. But according to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all these services. It is hard to find workers now, and businesses reopening means that millions of jobs need to be filled. So where do you fill these roles? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Nobody else has this. ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN. Go get them with ZipRecruiter. The Yankees in No Doubt. That's next.
No Doubt.
The beginning of the season. Oh, man, I want to be in that moment. This is one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Mike Greenberg, and I'm ready.
This is Mina Kimes, and you know my Seahawks are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Texas A&M Aggies are ready.
This is Ryan McGee, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What a great song. Well, not exactly, but it is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. I don't know who's picking this stuff. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
Raj, let us know what's going on. Raj, is Raj going to be a part of this, or is he just – there we go,
yes.
Raj. There you
Bubba
are. Glad
muted.
To
Bubba
have you
have
with
muted.
Us.
Bubba, have muted. Now, you both have shared your opinions on 80s versus 90s music, but you got to admit, 80s karaoke is greater than 90s karaoke.
No doubt. I agree. Because ultimately, even if – even though the 90s are better music as a whole, the 80s music is so cheesy and so stupid, it makes it perfect for karaoke. Karaoke works, Joe, when you're singing music that is dumb, that everybody knows is dumb, and that they can all just at a bar act goofy around. 80s music is perfect for that. 90s music touches your soul, not as good for karaoke. Nobody wants to hear people sing a serious song at karaoke. So no doubt it is better to sing karaoke in the 80s.
No doubt.
No doubt as well on this end.
No
bon
doubt.
He is absolutely speechless, Raj. What's your next one?
Bon Jovi, Journey, they're at the top of the list. There's not even a question when it comes to who's going to win in karaoke between the 80s and the 90s.
Nah, all right, fair enough. We can all agree on something. That's good. Hey, you teased it, but the Yankees winning their 12th straight game. They're the most dangerous team right now in baseball.
Absolutely not. Listen, I like watching this Yankees team. They're completely different after the All-Star break. Obviously, getting Rizzo made a huge difference. But the Dodgers are still the best team. The Dodgers are still the most dangerous team with that pitching staff. They're somehow still not in first place in the NL West. And even though I believe that the Yankees have as good a shot as anybody, they're playing the hottest now, they're still not the most dangerous team. The Dodgers just play in a division where everybody they play is good. So I'm going to say the Dodgers are still the most dangerous team.
Pass as well for me. The reality of the situation is I'm coming back off this a little bit. Early in the week, we were talking about the Yanks and their World Series futures, 11-1 to win the World Series. That was a hard pass because at the time, I believe they were something like 27-9 since coming off the All-Star break. But a lot of those wins had come against bad clubs. Well, now fast forward to the end of the week. They took 2 of 2 from Atlanta. They just went to Oakland. And even though the A's came all the way back last night after trailing 6-0, they beat the A's. Say what you want about Oakland. The Yankees had lost 21 of their last 28 games, at the Coliseum in Oakland. So that had been a place that had been a big struggle for them, and they got it done last night. So I still don't think they're the toughest team to beat in Major League Baseball, but they're making a much more compelling case, and I'm coming more and more off my position as we work our way deeper into the season.
I think you make a really good point, because they play the A's for the rest of this weekend. I'm going to be interested to see exactly how that goes, because they've historically been so bad there that if they're actually going to get it done in Oakland, maybe there's somebody you need to pay attention to. Next.
True that. All right. Hey, guys, it's National Red Wine Day. Hey, you guys still enjoy a nice glass of red?
No, I do not. First of all, I don't know where you think I am. I'm not really, that's not really, you know, when you look at me, Raj, you know, I'm not exactly the red wine or the sort of champagne or Chardonnay guy.
No.
I mean, first of all, we're in Kentucky. I know you would think that when you see me.
Shocking.
And when you hear me, but you know, this is Kentucky. It's a bourbon place. This is what we do here. We don't sit around and hold the finger in the air and go, oh, this is, I like to savor the fruit and the barley, or I don't think they have barley, but whatever it is you put in red wine, this is a bourbon place. So, no, National Red Wine Day, I hope all of you celebrate it, but it's not my thing, Joe.
No doubt. The doctors and the medical profession gave you a pass for drinking when it came to red wine. They basically said one or two glasses a night isn't going to be a problem. It can actually help your heart. Do they say that about bourbon? Do they say that about IPAs? No, sir, they do not. You have gotten a pass from the medical community to drink as much red wine as you would like. Now, that's an embellishment. That is clearly not the case. But ultimately, nothing pairs with a ribeye or a nice piece of filet mignon better than a good glass of red wine.
No, I tell you what does. You bourbon. Red wine. Come on. Where am I here, Joe Fortenbaugh? I know you're drinking bourbon. All right, what's the next one?
Hey, guys, last one. We got a birthday in the house. We love birthdays on the Max Kellerman Show. Jack Black turns 52 years young tomorrow. Hey, you guys got a favorite Jack Black movie?
I mean, no doubt I do. Unfortunately, it's the only Jack Black movie I have any memory of, which is School of Rock. The thing about Jack Black is I know I find him mildly entertaining, but I also can't remember a lot of the things I've seen him in. I did enjoy School of Rock. I thought it was really well done. It sort of brought out the best in Jack without his excesses, so I enjoyed that. But besides that, I tend to be a pass of Jack Black outside of School of Rock.
I'm no doubt. Happy birthday to Jack Black. I got a couple I'll throw your way. School of Rock's a good one. Shallow Hal, I always found pretty funny. I'm not going to make the case that it's a great movie, but I thought the concept was funny. And to watch him make his way through that movie and become, you know, less shallow, I guess to say, was somewhat hilarious. Also, his role in Anchorman, when he kicks Ron Burgundy's dog off the bridge, the Coronado Bridge in San Diego, and he looks at him and he goes, "You just killed my baby. Now I'm doing this to you." And he just kicks a dog off a bridge. That is a hilarious scene. I don't know why that one stands out so prominently, but yeah, shout out Jack Black. Happy birthday.
Tropic Thunder for me. I know he doesn't start it, but he's one of the guys. Hilarious in that. Oh, man.
That is a great movie. I thought we'd get through this whole show without mentioning Shallow Hal, and we were not able to. So shout out to Jack, no doubt. Sunday Night Baseball is on ESPN Radio, and we got the Red Hot Yankees this weekend. It's Yankees and A's from Oakland, Sunday at 7 on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. This Sunday Night Baseball preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. You can sing it like I just did, because it is a great phone. Coming up, we're going to tell you what's going on this weekend. There's a lot, but first, DoorDash is here. It's the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. If you need a nightcap, that's $10 off. You got a cough? We'll get relief delivered for less. If you want to surprise your crush, send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass and the DoorDash app, and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. The weekend preview, everything you need to know for this weekend. That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the biggest season ever.
Said it a million times. Mm-hmm. They're the most selfish guys on a team, but because they're the quarterback,
they have the golf
cart. It's always the receiver, because they're the leader.
whatever.
The countdown to the NFL season continues. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I like this song, too. I mean, we all want to dance with somebody. Joe is always talking about feeling the heat with somebody, so I understand why you would like Whitney Houston. It's a fun song. I even got the people out here with me dancing to it. They're so excited. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh here in for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN. You know, 30 for 30 podcasts and the undefeated present the King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. You can hear DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and my guy, DeMarcus Cousins, among others, explore the realities of life as a black man in America, Nipsey's dedication to South LA and his community, and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues. The King of Crenshaw. Binge all four episodes now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for the weekend. There's a lot of events going on. We're kind of still in that period in August where different sports are all happening at once. Joe, I guess the thing I would say first, look at the NFL preseason games. Which one or two are you most interested in watching, and which one are you most excited about looking ahead to this weekend?
Most interesting to watch, and this is strictly because I'm betting it, is going to be the Jets in Philadelphia.
That's the only reason. No one would choose Jets in Philadelphia except a guy betting on it, right?
I think there's an opportunity there with the Jets in the first half as a three-point favorite. Philly's made it clear they're not going to play any starters. Nick Sirianni, the head coach, is taking cues from the stats and health guys that are saying they don't want these dudes getting hurt in the preseason because they've suffered so many injuries over the last few years. So I think they're going to go with a very vanilla lineup. And ultimately, Robert Saleh and the Jets want to compete. I think we're going to see Zach Wilson. It sounds like we're going to see the starters for maybe a half. They're 2-0 this preseason. They've won the first half in both those games. So from a gambling perspective, I would be playing the Jets. I'm also very interested, obviously, in what's going to happen with New England and everyone beyond in the quarterback battles. That has been the focal point this preseason. So when it comes to Chicago, San Francisco, New England and beyond, those quarterback battles will have my focus.
Yeah, that's me too. Those are the exact two I want to see. I want to see Chicago. I want to see New England. I want to see the Bears because it's going to be impossible for Matt Nagy not to play Justin Fields if he goes out there and has another good game and Andy Dalton can't move the ball. I mean, they're going to probably both get a half, and if they don't end up if Fields moves the ball, it's going to be tough. And then I want to see Mac Jones, too close to my own name for comfort, but nevertheless, if he has another big game, I think you're going to hear the same thing from the Patriots folks. So I'm excited about that one. College football begins tomorrow, which coincidentally, Joe, is also my birthday is tomorrow.
Hey,
which
happy early
so
birthday.
That's very exciting. What better birthday present than Nebraska at Illinois football? I'm not going to say I'm excited about watching those two teams, but it's college football, Joe. You got to be excited about that. And if there's one thing I enjoy, it's kind of picking at Cornhusker fans because they all still believe it's the 80s and 90s when they mattered, and they don't. So I'm actually taking Illinois to cover and maybe even upset.
Illinois plus the 7 would be the side for me. Under 55 total points, I think, is the way to go as well. Illinois's got 18 starters coming back, 9 on both sides of the ball. New head coach Brett Bielema. He does not play an up-tempo game. He likes to go slow. He thinks it helps prevent injuries, and it frustrates the opposition. Nebraska doesn't want to play that fast either. And when we're talking about 7 points in a game that could be lower scoring between two teams that want to run the football, remember something. The Cornhuskers have been very sloppy from a penalty perspective, a turnover perspective, and a special teams perspective under Scott Frost. That is not a disciplined football team. Maybe he's found a way to get them to take that next step, but there's a lot of pressure coming in the Champaign over the weekend. I would take the 7 with Nebraska there.
Yeah, this is one of those, if you're Nebraska, you cannot lose this game. If you lose this game, you're already headed towards a negative season in week 0 before the season even really starts. You cannot lose this if you're Nebraska. Also, Little League World Series will crown a champ. Personally, Joe, I feel like the Little League World Series has been going on for 6 to 7 months. Every time I turn on the TV, there are kids playing. Some coach is coming to the pitcher's mound, trying to take the pitcher out. The pitcher's crying. I'm listening to it. I feel like I've seen it over the last 4 to 5 weeks at least. It's finally going to end. Are you going to watch it?
A little bit, because I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, both boys, and they're both in a different level of baseball that they do on the weekends. And I like having this on the TV so they can see it. But it's wildly intimidating watching these starting pitchers and the type of stuff they have now. I mean, when I was maybe like 10, 12, 15 and I watched this, I don't remember starting pitchers having this type of arsenal. I remember some of them being able to pump gas, and that was that. You could either hit them or you couldn't. Now, I'm watching these kids with 12 to 6 breaking balls and everything in between. It is fascinating to see how impressive the starting pitching is at that level.
It really is. You got the one kid out there that just keeps throwing perfect game after perfect game. Be interesting to see how it goes. And finally, you get the U.S. Open. Get started in tennis. It is not a normal U.S. Open. You don't have Federer. You don't have Nadal. You don't have Serena. You do have Djokovic. I got to think if he wins, he becomes the all-time major winner. Are you wanting to see if he makes that quest?
Not necessarily. I'm not a huge fan of Djokovic. He's fantastic, but I'd go with the other two guys before him. That's where I stand on that. But I do love the U.S. Open because of all the tennis events where people dress nice and act classy. The one in New York with the yelling and the screaming and the rowdiness, it really sums up America the way it needs to be summed up on the international tennis stage.
You know, I've been to it many times, Joe. I used to cover it for the Tennis Channel, and it gets rowdy because it goes way into the night. I mean, it can go to 1 o'clock a.m., and the people that are there then – they are going nuts. They don't even care about the tennis. They're just happy to be out of their house. It is a lot of fun. Joe Fortenbaugh, speaking of fun, I had a great time. I hope you did as well. Thanks to Max Kellerman for letting us fill in. I'm Matt Jones. We will see you later. This has been the Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.